Hello, hoteliers, and welcome to another episode of M3 Minutes. I'm your hostess, Veronica Berman, and here today I'm sitting with Parag Doshi, Chief Technology Officer at M3. So come join us on the couch. Parag, thank you so much for sitting down on the couch with us today. We really appreciate your time. I know you're busy as a Chief Technology Officer here at M3. And so every day thinking of new innovative ways to just spearhead our company forward into the future. So let's dig in a little deeper. So tell me a little bit more about you, where you're from, kind of how you became you.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you want me to really go back, right, Veronica?
You know, if you were just a twinkle in your father's eye at one time, we can start from there.
Sounds good. Well, first of all, let me say I am very proud to be here at M3. It's an absolutely fantastic company right here in Atlanta. You asked about my background. Well, I'm not from hospitality. This is the first time I'm in hospitality. So I'm actually cross-industry, and hospitality was something new for me and is like new pastures. I always love to learn, and I'd like to say that actually starts from early years. You know, let me even say maybe before I was born, my grandfather had a bookstore. Okay. And, you know, I'm a second generation Asian Indian American that came here when I was only 2 years old. Okay. And I think I had it easier, to be honest. My parents, my wife, they were first generation. They really had struggles, no money, and just came here to establish roots in another country. My father having a two-year-old here. And, you know, he had been brought up in a bookstore, and education was always a big thing. So I want to say a lot of that is sort of what molded me and how my father really wanted to have a better life for me. Mm-hmm. So education was a big thing, and it's carried on generations. My kids, I've got two kids in med school, another child in Georgia State doing marketing and UX stuff in the technology space as well. So three wonderful kids. And I'd say I had it a lot easier because I had that head start that the first generation didn't have. I'd say after that, you know, I really then, you know, I grew up, you might almost say a geek, you know, I was into very esoteric things. Back in Georgia Tech, I was with the academia and did a lot of research in semiconductor physics. My favorite show growing up was a physics show called The Mechanical Universe, taught by an MIT professor. So learning was always something that I gravitated towards. I remember back in the Olympics, the Summer Olympics came here to Atlanta, and I worked with our professor to build the world's largest solar array at that time on the planet, grid-connected, utility-connected solar array. Then I dabbled in aerospace engineering at McDonnell Douglas Research Labs, which is now Boeing Research, and did some esoteric and fancy things there. So I did all sorts of fancy things, chasing things that very few kids were really chasing. But, you know, one of the things I found out, and, you know, this sort of gets into how I got into information technology and software and hardware, I noticed that no matter what field I went after, it was all the barriers were always limited by things like hardware, availability of hardware, and the pace of software, how quickly we can develop new software. For example, at Boeing Research, we had to book time. You know, imagine like you're trying to go to a Taylor Swift concert and you've got to book time. You got to book your seats there. Well, we had to do the same thing for compute back in the day just to run our calculations. And I saw, wow, that's really ridiculous. This is really holding us back. And I'd say from there, I had, you know, it was like a light bulb go on that we really need to make sure compute is ubiquitously available. This is way before cloud ever existed, right? So around 2000, I got an opportunity to join Hewlett-Packard, and they had something called the data center utility. This pre-cloud, early 2000s days, right? So I was enamored by that idea. I said, okay, this is going to help all my scientific research, and I could just geek out and do more calculations. Right. Well, you know, there was one of my bosses, he was a very process-oriented person, and I'm known as a maverick, okay? If you look at all of our psychological science that we do here.
Yes,
I come out.
Index.
Yeah, the predictive index. Yes, exactly. The PI, I was listed as a maverick. No matter how much I tried to not disclose that, I tried to hide it, it turned out to find the truth.
Yeah.
So back when I had that early boss who was very process-oriented, he and I never got along. But one thing he told me that stuck was, Parag, you are brilliant. You could do anything you want, but you'll never be as impactful as if you can lead people. And that's really when the light bulb went on, another pivotal moment, more on the people side and the management and the leadership side, is that if I really wanted to make an impact, then I have to find a way to mix my love of technology with how do I drive people? How do I convince people to follow my ideas? Because I have tons of ideas, but I don't think they're worth anything unless we execute. So how do I bring people along with those ideas? That became a major part of what shaped me.
Wow. And that's kind of that evolution. I will ask you this. I'm a little curious because we are Atlanta-based. We're, you know, located here in Gwinnett, Georgia, which is part of the Atlanta metro area. Can we rewind back just a tiny bit to when you helped build this solar panel for the Olympics?
Oh, that caught your eye?
It did. There's so many great things. But of course, you know, one of the things being an Atlantan we're so proud of is, even though it was decades ago, is hosting those Olympics.
Oh, yes.
So kind of like where, why that journey really paved that way.
Right. So I always gravitated, you know, I didn't really select industries. I looked for hard problems.
Okay.
And one of the hard problems was, how do we provide energy for all of mankind? Right. Mm-hmm. And if you look at this, if we just use less than 0.1% of the planet, 0.001% of the planet, of land only, to generate electricity from the sun, I thought that could be, what could be a better project than that, a better initiative.
Wow.
I will tell you, there was something better, developing energy from water, thermonuclear fusion. So that was my other love, but we won't get into that right now. So back to the solar array. That was a great opportunity because at the time, they're very expensive. If you look at how semiconductor chips are manufactured, it's like thousands of dollars per square centimeter, right? And so now imagine trying to cover your whole roof with that.
Okay.
So my research was, how do I bring this technology in a much more lower cost fashion? So we led the country in that kind of research of low cost, high efficiency solar panels. Georgia Power got very interested in that. The Olympics were coming. So what better venue than to use the 96 Olympics at Georgia Tech to host the Summer Olympics? And to this day, the Georgia Tech Aquatic Center has those solar panels and also solar thermal, solar photovoltaic and solar thermal, we call it. And that generates the electricity as well as heats up the pool. And, you know, I thought that was a great opportunity.
Interesting. Thank you for evolving on that a little bit more. Yeah. But it really sounds like what I really picked up from that as well is just how much you were thinking about the customer first.
Oh, always.
So that is something that probably maybe in your subconscious, you know, directed you to some of these career moves, always thinking those customer centric moves. How can we make this easier for the customer, more affordable, faster?
Right.
And especially in the current age we're in, it can be so demanding. It's instant data, instant results. And so that probably really set the way for you a little more than you realize.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, it's always innovation with a purpose, right?
Exactly.
Yes, I love innovation, but if it's self-serving, then no one else knows about it, right?
Right.
It comes back to the impact statement, right? If you want to have impact, you got to lead people. If you want to have impact, you got to make sure there's a contribution.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a responsibility.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe that comes from my background too. My parents came here wanting a better life for the generations to follow.
Mm.
So this is my way of giving back.
I love it. I love it. So, and that's a lot of times, I think, what we kind of feel here at M3 is that more giving back, but also doing the right thing.
That's right.
You know, that goes into our whole, it's one of our core values here at M3.
Absolutely.
So wonderful, wonderful. Well, thinking about all that, you're going from Georgia Tech to Boeing to Hewlett Packard to Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and now to here. So there's a lot of different transitions in there, going from academia to IT, over to medical.
Right.
And now you're back in kind of that IT space.
Yes.
But there's a little niche to it. It's more hospitality specific.
That's right.
Yeah. So can you tell me a little bit more about why you chose to get into this space?
Yes. So as I said, it's wanting to see something new. And the more I look at different industries, doesn't matter whether it's healthcare or the software, semiconductor stuff I've done, or esoteric sciences, there's a lot of commonality, right? If you think about, what I did at Anthem, yes, that's a medical arena, health and life sciences. But there again, one of the challenges we had there was, how does a company like that, which has a gold mine of data, right? In there could be in the petabytes of data we had at Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield, now called Elevance Health. There is all the information you could use to solve diseases which are still unsolved, mm-hmm. okay? So a big driver at Anthem was to do a transformation, mm-hmm. okay? So it was, how do we tap into that data? How do we use artificial intelligence to discover the unknown, to solve problems that humans are still not able to solve? So a big part of what I learned there is not just a technical transformation of moving applications to cloud, but it was also the people transformation. How do you get and lead a company? How do you get the funding for it? How do you convince all the CIOs of all the departments to try something new, to experiment, to learn new technologies, hire new people? So one of the things that I had to do at Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield is build my own organization. After that, I worked at a smaller scale up, not really a startup, called Tricentis, which is a DevOps testing company. In both of those companies, I had to build my own teams. One of the things I liked about M3, besides the great people here, was there was an organization that was already built, right? So I felt like there was a big head start. It's right here in Atlanta. I don't have to move. And so what can I have more impact with this head start that I have here at M3, not having to build an organization?
Right, right.
Now, we're growing, so I'm still going to have to build.
Of course.
Yeah.
Every company evolves, it grows. Yes. But there's definitely a difference between a startup,
absolutely.
You know, and something that's come off Kickstarter or
yes.
someone that, when they're needing funding, versus a well-established company like M3, who's
that's
been
right.
in business for over 25 years. You've
that's
got
right.
processes in place, but that doesn't mean there's never any room for improvement, right?
Absolutely. Like, I'll give you another example talking about improvement. One of the head starts I have here is, in order to build fast at those companies, I had to outsource a lot of work too.
Mm-hmm.
I had to staff augment the teams that I had. I couldn't hire fast enough. Here, it's amazing. We are a majority insourced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll see how long that lasts, right? Because we always have that insatiable desire to grow and to add new functionality. So we'll be adding people and our pace will become important. But this is one of the few gems I found in Atlanta where we have pretty much, you know, a super majority of the technical staff right here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I can go, just like I was at Georgia Tech, I could find the world-renowned robotics professor. I can find a world-renowned person that knows quantum mechanics.
Right.
Here at M3, I can find the expert in any area of finance or accounting or hospitality. This company is built by folks that specialize in hospitality.
Right.
Hospitality by hoteliers, right? And so I'm one of the rarer people being a pure technologist here. So I thought that diversity will help too.
I'm kind of right there with you. I came from an outside industry as well. So I pick up what you're putting down.
Yes.
And you can say AI is now a different terminology, always improving.
So nice.
You can
like
add that.
Yeah,
yes. Add that to a different AI definition.
Yes.
Well, perfect. Well, let's move into kind of our next question here. So Parag, can you tell me a little bit more about what are the key challenges you face in aligning M3's current and future technology initiatives with the company's overall business strategy?
Ah, sure. Let me tell you, Veronica, first of all, I don't see misalignment. I think we're going to have excellent alignment. As I mentioned earlier, we have a good head start with a good team. And one of the things that M3 has done, which is quite remarkable, and a lot of my prior companies failed to do, is to completely rewrite the core software that drives the company.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, late last year, we launched Core Select. And that's the beginning of our entire Core Forward platform, in which all new software that runs as a SaaS will be built upon. So we'll have a common look and feel, make things a whole lot easier for users. You know, a lot of times in accounting, there's a lot of complex tasks.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the daily tasks. We've also got end of month tasks. now in our new Core Select product, we have the capability to actually walk users through how do you actually perform each of those tasks, making it a whole lot easier. In-app assistance is what we call it. So this is something that's already been launched. And I think now it's about pace, really. Mm-hmm. It's can we achieve what we call feature parity with what we've always had for the last 25 years in our legacy accounting core product on our core forward platform. So this next few quarters are really about achieving that feature parity. Okay, so that means every single function that we've had in our old product should be reproduced and then some in our new core forward platform. Not to mention this new platform is built 100% cloud native. Okay, so one of the things that M3 is actually a pioneer for, as early as 25 years ago. Now, this predates what I told you about HP's data center utility, actually, is this company had the foresight. You know, we think of us as a hotel company, but it's also a technology company. Yes. We built, before I was here, an ASP, an application service provider network. And that means that multiple customers can use the same instance. Of course, you have many different databases, so data is not shared, but they can use the same instance. This is before cloud even existed, so this is a precursor for cloud. Now, fast forward to today, 25 years later, with the Core Forward platform, we're now moving from private clouds to public clouds, where you know access to innovation, access to unlimited hardware, network connectivity is very easy and at the fingertips. And what I mentioned about pace, I think that's really where the alignment is going to become important. Right. Our imagination, our desire to out-innovate with competition, provide alternatives to users with a better product, something more specific to hoteliers, that will always be insatiable. So it's going to be about pace and quality. Can we keep up? And I think that for that, we've actually instituted something to help us with that alignment problem, which I call the quarterly planning process. So it actually brings together multiple departments where we agree every quarter, what do we commit? What does the engineering teams commit to accomplish that quarter so that we can give more of a predictable roadmap to our business teams and our product management teams, our support and operations teams. We know what's coming down the pike. So I'd say that will help with alignment. I don't think we'll get misaligned other than will we be fast enough to meet our demands and customer demands.
Gotcha. So kind of going back to the core of what really instills your driving motivation is that customer-centric and thinking about the customer's experience first.
That's
and
right.
Especially being in the age we're in, it's very digital. And so people want a lot of things that they're not really stuck on their computers anymore at the front desk or at the back office, thinking of more innovative ways to make things more mobile friendly, something on the go so they can take that cloud data anywhere they need to be. If they're on vacation with their families, they can go back and look at the LNM report from any time of day, anywhere.
That's right. And that's one of the things cloud does give us, right? Mm-hmm. It's that access anywhere on the planet, right?
Right.
The ubiquitous set of resources, the connectivity anywhere. So talking about customer centricity, it's actually more than pure customer centricity. I've got to actually predict, given my experience and background across many industries, exactly where the needs will be of the future. So we are already having the Core Forward being completely cloud native, running in the cloud. We're already able to predict the scale that we predict in the future. We're already able to introduce new security controls so that we retain trust with customers and they can run their financial software and financial data on a trusted platform. So these are things that customers don't always ask for, but we know they'll be needed and we plan and we're very proactive about that.
Gotcha. Thinking ahead, customer in mind.
That's
wonderful,
right.
Wonderful. So it sounds like you have a lot of coals in the fire. So when I'm thinking about that, Parag, can you tell me how you prioritize and manage technology investments to assure they align with M3's goals and objectives?
Sure. And, you know, let me first say, you know, Gartner has said that as an industry, there's going to be over $421 billion spent by 2025 for new applications, especially SaaS being over half of that. However, 55% of that is wasted. This is a Gartner quote. So it's absolutely important, and this question couldn't be more relevant, so that we make the investments in the right areas, in the right time, in the right way, so that our users can get quality software from us. And one of the ways I like to think is in terms of horizons. Okay, so here at M3, I look at our first horizon as laying down a foundation with this new Core Forward platform, with the right people, the right organization, the right technology and architecture all in place, so that unlimited growth is possible. Okay, so that's really the first horizon, is lay out a foundation with very few holes. Don't build a house of cards. Okay, that's ultra important. Many mavericks like me tend to go after the shiny object without understanding the key foundation you need to enable things like AI and all these other things. Mm-hmm. AI without data, a data foundation, is worthless. Mm-hmm. So that brings me to the second horizon. The second horizon is, number one, we want to achieve feature parity with our legacy product. So our core platform and all the products on it will accomplish all the features that have had, that have been there for the last couple decades with our legacy accounting core platform. Mm-hmm. Legacy accounting core software will be also introduced. And so we're working at breakneck speeds to achieve that feature parity. And I'd say that is really horizon two, is to enable that along with the data foundation. Mm-hmm. And I think that data foundation for exchanging data, you know, one of the things M3 does really well is we connect to more property management systems than I can imagine. So unlike a generic accounting software, our software is hotelier specific. So we connect that ecosystem so that you have a lot of the integrations in place. So that's one of the advantages that we have, is our integration portfolio. And that's what makes our software hotelier specific as well. So having that data backbone and that data exchange foundation, that's really a horizon two. And then horizon three are game changers. That's where you know, the combination of our feature parity being accomplished and a data platform to exchange data, to have unlimited access to data, treating data as an asset itself. Having all of that in place can allow game changers that are beyond our imagination today.
Parag, thank you so much for sharing such a precious time in your life with us and how you started your career path in technology. We're fortunate that your path led you to M3. Hoteliers, we've got more in store for you, so head on back to that lobby for part two of this series with Parag Doshi, Chief Technology Officer at M3.